Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, April 16th, and you have hair in your soup?
And I had a hair in my muffin yesterday at Starbucks.
What the hell is that all about, man? You're cursed with those hairs. Did you eat any of it?
No. Why would I eat?
No, because I don't know if
you started. Oh, no, I had a couple of bites. Yeah. I'm fucking pissed. Like, that just ruined my day.
Hair in your soup.
Yeah, that soup cost $10.
Okay, well, you take it back to them, but don't be pissed right now. Mm. You have a piece of bread. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
You need to calm down a little bit. You stopped and got a $10 soup on your way here?
Yeah, I was starving.
Where do you get it from?
Panera.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
How's that happening with the hair? And yeah, that's pretty cool, right? There we are. We just want to make sure we're on Facebook Live, folks, and we are. You can go to LA Talk Radio on Facebook and see us. We do have guests in the studio today, and as we've been having several over the past few days,
mm-hmm.
a lot of interesting people. And we just need to note about Notre Dame yesterday. You're watching that?
Yeah, it's so sad.
Isn't that bad?
Mm-hmm.
It was like terrible. And a lot of people.
How did that happen? Do they know yet?
No, not yet. But, you know, it seems like to have touched a lot of people because so many people have been there.
Yeah, I've never been.
Yeah. I was there like a long time ago.
It's been in my teens. A lot of movies.
Yeah. And a lot of everything, you know. I mean, it's been around for about 800 years, and it took 200 years to build it.
Right.
Can you imagine 200 years? I mean, you don't even live a lifetime to see, you know, from beginning to end.
I know.
Yeah. So, yeah, how does something like that go up in flames so fast? But I guess they saved a lot of it. You know?
They saved the structure.
Right. Yeah. Which I think was made out of stone or something. So that makes sense, you know. But the wooden stuff got burned quickly.
That's going to take a very long time to rebuild.
Yeah. It will. But not as long as it took to build it.
Yeah, I know.
200 years, my God. But it's an awesome structure. I can't even tell you. It's hard to describe how huge it is and impressive and stuff, you know. And I don't know if you've read anything about, well, you probably haven't.
Nope.
You don't read.
Yeah. Definitely not. I'll just go ahead and answer that for you. I have not read anything.
It's very interesting to read about how they built cathedrals and stuff, you know, way back when.
Yeah.
So did you ever read? You probably read Pillars of the Earth, right? Ken Follett.
No. I thought you were going to go to Hunchback of Notre Dame.
No, I didn't go to that one.
You zigzagged on me.
Yeah.
I was all ready to talk about Victor Hugo.
Wow. Well, so I've read it. What the hell? But at any rate, I guess when you meet fellow readers, you think they've read everything you've read, right? But we'll bring you on in just a second. What was I going to ask you? So this was like happening as we were sitting here, you know. Did you watch it like actually burn when it was live?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. That's
I saw
okay.
pictures.
You'll be excused this time.
I worked all night last night. So.
You did?
Yeah.
How was I? Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I got pretty tired. And I don't know why. I mean, I went to sleep at 2, but that's...
I went to bed at 2, too.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's usual for me, you know?
That's not usual for me at all.
No, you go to sleep later.
Then 2?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah, well, I do.
I was like, when's the last time I went to bed
but
later
you
than
have.
2?
No, that's
in the past, yeah, but not often.
No, like the other day you said something. You went to sleep at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Oh, that's because I was like drugged or something.
Okay, whatever it was, you did.
That was a rare occasion. I sat in my shower for literally 4 hours.
Yeah.
Praying for Jesus.
Oh, God.
That won't be happening anytime soon.
No, did he answer your call?
Not till like 4 a.m.
He was asleep.
Yeah.
It's too late in the morning.
That night gives me chills anytime I think about it.
He can't be bothered.
Nope. So I was at my restaurant on Sunday. And I never forget a face. I will forget a name all day, every day. But I'll never forget if I had a conversation with someone. So there was this guy at the restaurant. And I was like, I've met this guy before. And he kept staring at me, checking me out, obviously. Not obviously. That sounded really conceited. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It did.
I just meant he was obviously staring because he was looking at me. Okay. So he went to the bathroom and he came back. I go, I think we've met. And he was like, I don't think so. I go, yeah, we have. I go, a year ago at Saddle Ranch. And he said, no. I go, you have like a slide that goes into a pool? He was like, my parents do. I go, you used to be a UFC fighter? He said, yeah. I go, yeah, we met a year ago.
Wow.
But he,
so
like,
he just didn't remember, or he chose not to remember?
I don't think he remembered.
Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, I have just like a photogenic memory. I'll just never forget a face.
Right.
Like if I rode an elevator with someone 5 years ago, if I see him again, I'll probably be like, hey, did we ride an elevator one time together?
Right.
I did that in an Uber one day. Yeah, when I used to take Uber pool.
Right.
I took one and I got into a car with someone. I go, I think we've taken Uber pool together before. But I gave him, he came up and he gave me his business card. So I texted him and obviously I looked up his name. He's like married and has kids.
Right.
And I'm like, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
So I texted him before I realized that. So yesterday I went to work and he was at my job again.
Again?
Yeah. I was like, all right, we need to settle down.
I don't know what's going on there, but hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. So before we get to our guest, I just wanted to say that I've made headway yesterday. Remember after we talked to the woman about divorce and everything?
Right, yeah.
I contacted my son about something else, right? The bill he had to pay, which, you know, we haven't spoken in months, right?
Right.
So so then after that, after we settled that, he's like, my girlfriend is coming into town in a couple of weeks and mom said that you want to meet her. So I said, you know what? He's giving me an opening here.
Right, right, right.
So I said, sure, I'd love to see you and your girlfriend. So I'm going to see him on Wednesday, tomorrow.
Oh,
can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, so I went from a situation where I didn't know the next time I'll see my kids again.
Right,
to a situation where within a week I get to see both of them again.
Right.
Back in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to move on.
Yeah.
So you see, and that's what everybody told me is don't give up, you know? Mm-hmm. Keep chasing them. And I thought, of course, they're my kids. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to pretend like I don't have kids all of a sudden, you
right.
know? So that's
I'm fighting
thing,
with my dad right now.
Yeah?
I told him, you're never hearing from me again.
Why?
Well, what happened was my sister has been like kind of like talking to this rapper artist.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a lot of money. He's a millionaire, but he's an ass.
Yeah,
he's not like a good dude. Like if she was the type of chick that could like just have fun and not stress it, I'd be like, go for it. But she's not. She's only slept with five people. She got pregnant on the fourth. Like, she's not. She hasn't been around the block. She's not experienced.
Yeah.
And I feel like as she goes back and back and back towards this guy, she has no self-love.
Right.
And I've been there. I get it. That's why I'm telling her don't do it.
You guys do the same thing.
Exactly. But I've been with more men than her. So it's like, she's just completely inexperienced. Like, she just doesn't know. And this is her first dude that has money.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's really not that big of a deal. There's plenty of dudes that have money. It's just like, move on. So I texted my dad, and I'm like, Dad, you need to step up and, like, teach your daughter some self-love. I'm not there to yell at her. Like, stop being a cheerleader. Stop giving her bad advice. Like, be a dad.
Right.
So he texted me, like, 24 hours later. He's like, I'm a grown-ass man. I got other shit going on.
Really?
And I'm like, okay, but you're telling Gabby to, like, do it.
Right,
go for
right,
it.
Right,
that's
right.
Not what you should be telling her. Like, you know how fragile she is, you know? So then she, like, posted on IG story. My dad calls me all the time and, like, tells me how pretty I am. And
she put that on Instagram.
Yeah, and, like, that he's proud of me. And I'm like, my dad, he never calls me and says that. So I screenshot it and I send it to him. I'm like, I'm glad you talked to one of your daughters.
Right. Because
when's the last time you called me and said anything nice to me?
Yeah.
And I go, and he goes, Danielle, I love all my children equally. I go, no, you don't. I go, I'm never contacting you again. Okay. And we haven't talked in like 2 weeks.
Okay, well, that's until tomorrow, and then things will pick up again.
No.
You guys don't stay mad for too long.
Me and my dad didn't talk for 6 months. You didn't forget that?
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We didn't talk until I went home.
Yeah, because of his singing.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into that one. All right, folks, we're going to bring in our guests right now. We have invited Dr. Ken Best to the show. Welcome to the show, Ken.
Thank you for having me.
Is it okay if I call you Ken, or do you want doctor?
Call me Ken.
Okay, awesome. We try to be informal here, as you can see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't really, we don't filter much here, as you notice.
I got that. She's pretty funny.
Thank you. I try.
And next to you is Desiree. Welcome to the show, Desiree.
Hey, Sam. How you doing?
Welcome back anytime. Desiree, we already have a room and a bed for her here because she doesn't leave very often. But we love having you here. She always sends us the best people. And you always...
Literally.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. There you go, Dr. Best. And you have... you're just... to me, you're an amazing person, and I think that's how you managed to really have succeeded rather quickly with your new Black Chateau, right?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, how many years have you had it already?
Into my third year. We're heading into our third year.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a long time, 3 years.
It's not that long to build what she's built, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, I mean...
It's typically 14-hour days, hustling.
Right.
But I have a great team, too, and the team is growing, and that's what's exciting.
Yeah.
I believe in other people. Uh-huh. That's the thing. I take that Abe Lincoln philosophy.
Right.
Where I pull in people. We might not always agree.
Right.
But that also produces the best results because you get different ideas, different opinions.
Yeah.
And we're building.
Yeah, you got to do that. You got to have good people around you. You know, some people say it's best to surround yourself with people that are smarter than you.
Right.
So you can learn something, you know.
Mm-hmm. I believe in that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So stick around me, you guys. All
right.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, Ken. Are you an L.A. native?
No, I grew up in Columbus, Ohio.
Columbus, Ohio. And when did you move here?
I went to school in San Diego in 1978,
uh-huh.
And then after school, I moved to New York. I was doing acting for 10 years.
Really?
Then I moved out to L.A.
Yeah. So you did the acting in New York, and then you moved back here to do what? More acting?
Well, I moved back here to be an actor, but I did mostly musical stage theater. So
really?
Coming to L.A. was kind of not the best move, so I decided to go to chiropractic school.
Chiropractic school?
Yeah.
Wow. In San Diego, what did you take there? What did you study?
I was pre-med, pre-law.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you had big dreams as far as that goes, but you also enjoyed acting and singing or?
Well, I like helping people, and it's always been about healing for me.
Mm. Really?
And even in acting, for me, it was finding a safe place for people to heal their emotions.
Right, right.
So it wasn't a big transition for me to go from acting into chiropractic because it was still about healing.
Right, right. How did you get into the healing part of it?
Well, I broke my back when I was 16.
Ooh.
So,
how?
I had a series of falls in wrestling and judo, all within 3 days. And that morning I was supposed to get up for a wrestling finals and I couldn't get out of bed. So they took me in, found out I had a bilateral fracture of the pars interarticularis.
Whatever that is.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go with that.
So it connects the back of the spine to the front of the spine.
Oh, geez.
So they broke apart. So I could either have a back fusion or basically do nothing and have a permanent fracture. So I did nothing and have a permanent fracture.
Wow.
So I had to learn how to deal with pain. And at one point in college, I almost had to drop out because I was in too much pain at a point.
Wow.
Because I would just sleep for days to deal with it.
Yeah.
And then when I moved to New York, I met a chiropractor for the first time. So nobody had referred me to any sort of physical therapy or anything to that point, which was kind of odd.
Right.
But so he helped me out a lot. And then, but he was kind of the typical chiropractor, but he helped me a lot. And then I met this woman who did muscle testing, and she made a huge difference in my life and got me to the point with back pain where the other chiropractor took me like 2 years to get me to.
Right, right, right.
And then she started working on other things. So when I went to chiropractic school, I was more aware of applied kinesiology and how muscle testing can look deeper into the body, find imbalances, and restructure the body.
Mm.
Very interesting. And so this is how you got into all this, through that woman, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, basically from breaking his back.
No, I know, yeah. but then he ended up with his, what do you call it?
Applied kinesiology.
Applied kinesiology.
Sorry. I know, I can't say it either.
Well, I didn't really see it. I didn't remember what it was, but once I see it, I'm okay with it, kind of.
Yeah.
I studied with the founder of it, Dr. George Goodhart, and the guy was a genius. And it's really amazing how in-depth it can go into the body, and it's an open forum, so it allows you to tap into a lot of other things. So in my practice, I tap into a lot of the emotional aspect of disease or chronic illness, because if you don't clear that emotional component, the problems keep coming back.
Right, right.
Really? So it's actually true.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that, though. Body. Yeah. Like, remember how I told you yesterday my wrist was itchy and it was like unbearable?
Yeah, yeah.
I like sat in my house and like meditated for 10 minutes about how my wrist wasn't itchy and it didn't itch for the rest of the day.
Really?
Yeah, literally. I was like, okay, it's all psychological. I'm making myself itch. And I kept saying that to myself over and over again. Didn't itch for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had this thing drop on my head. I thought for sure I needed stitches.
Right.
And I lied on the floor kind of in pain for a while. And
well, like what fell on your head?
It was this transformer.
Oh, like a kid toy?
No. It was like a power thing.
Oh, a power tool.
Electricity. Edges. Wow.
Yeah. So it dropped like 6 feet and hit me on the floor.
How did that happen?
Well,
are you like just prone for accidents, bro?
Yeah, he's going right by it like it's no big deal.
Yeah, we like we want to know how he's going to play this scene exactly. out for us. We need to know.
A transformer fell on my head.
And then I just laid. Yeah. like I could have died, but well, let's move on.
It was an armoire.
A what?
An armoire.
What's that?
It's like a closet that's not built into the wall.
Okay.
So there's a top that's like 6 or 7 feet up.
Okay.
So
like a big wardrobe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So I was in the bottom looking for some hats, and I found this hat, so I stuck it on my head, and then it fell and hit me on the top of the head, and I was like, great, I'm going to need stitches. So I was lying on the floor. I was in kind of a lot of
pain. Is it big or small?
It was about this big.
And it's like a box? It looks like a box?
And it's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of on the floor in pain. I'm going, it never happened. And I kind of went into that mode for a bit until the pain was gone.
Right.
Then a while later, I thought, I should probably see if I need stitches. So I went in the bathroom, I took the hat off. There was a little teeny red mark, but no blood or anything. But then I looked at the hat and it was wet. So I rinsed it under the fountain and,
it's all blood.
And blood came out.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool.
Cool. Like yeah, that sounds like a cool experience.
It was cool that I didn't need stitches.
Yeah, but like you were still bleeding. It just went into the hat.
No, well, I was bleeding, but then there was no cut on my head.
That makes no sense. How does that happen?
That's what I'm saying because I kept saying it never happened. It never happened, and it must have closed up.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we have to take your word for it.
Oh, Sam doesn't believe in that type of stuff.
Well, no, I don't know. Do you have video of it? Or
yeah, exactly. I knew. Sam in his head is like, shut up, guys.
Yeah, if you don't have pictures, it didn't happen, you know?
I knew that's exactly what you were thinking. I was like, he doesn't believe him at all.
No, I'm fascinated about this because this is considered a miracle. It's not something that things happen on a daily basis, right?
Mm.
So you're saying the miracle happened.
Sure. A miracle happened. No, I do have video where we took this one guy. He had this rare blood disease called HLA-B27, which he should have died from a couple years earlier. But he was. So somebody asked me to come over and change his blood because they had just done a live blood cell analysis. So you can actually see the blood under a microscope and you can actually watch it on a TV screen live.
Right.
So just to cut to the chase. So I worked on him. We changed the blood, but as he was saying, I can't believe it, we could watch his blood changing back to the old pattern.
Like his healthy pattern or the sick pattern?
Yeah, it went from the healthy to the sick pattern because he kept saying, I couldn't believe it.
Oh.
So we muscle tested him to see if he could believe that it was possible to heal that quickly, and he had no. So we fixed that, changed it, went back in, and then redid his blood, and then his blood held perfect. And then he was laughing about it. He's like, I can't believe this. This
is he still alive?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He took us all out to lunch.
Oh, yeah. Shit. I mean, you guys deserve it, I guess. Yeah.
Well, you save his life, you see the lunch.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
but we had video.
Yeah. There you go. So now you know Dr. Ken Best is here to actually show us that things do work and how to get to that point where you can actually – control what your body's going through, right? Is that what you're saying, actually?
Yeah.
Like mind over matter type of thing.
It's finding out what belief systems that are getting you getting in your way that is stopping your body from healing. I mean, the placebo effect is such a strong effect in healing. And if you could just even tap into that, the belief that you're actually healing from whatever you're taking, even if it's a sugar pill.
Right.
So when you look at your belief systems and you find out what's blocking you, you're actually tapping into like what the placebo effect is tapping into. It's the body's ability to heal is so great if we get out of the way.
Wow. So what are some of the ways to get out of the way? Like me, for example, right? I'm very skeptical and stuff.
Yes,
right?
You sure are.
So I need to open up, first of all, right, to ideas like this.
Well, I get a lot of skeptics in my office, and
right.
and I'm the biggest skeptic first.
I'm like a firm believer. I believe in so much.
Yeah.
If somebody tells me, I'm like, I believe it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Except obviously if they're lying, and I'm like, you're full of shit.
Well, it's called gullible.
Yeah. I think I'm to a degree, I think I am, for sure. Yeah.
But that's okay. I mean, you trust in people are mostly good people, right? Is that what you
think? Like if somebody tells me they saw a ghost, like I believe them.
Right.
I'm like,
right.
I believe it.
That's okay. Yeah. You're allowed to have fairy tales, too.
It's not fairy tales. Okay. Spirits exist.
Yeah, some people do believe that, but let's go.
Wow, that look.
Yeah.
Damn.
We get into debates about this all the time. He doesn't want to believe that ghosts are real.
All right, but we'll move on and see. Maybe they can prove us.
Isn't your new house haunted? Didn't you say you're hearing stuff in your new house? Yeah.
No, it wasn't me.
No?
No.
Mm.
I would never say something like that. Are you kidding? I'd find a million other scientific reasons before I said it's haunted.
Yeah, he would. That's true. It definitely wasn't you. All right, back to you.
So let's get a little bit into your book. And it's called 11 Best Ways to Face Life's Challenges. When did you write this book?
Well, this is actually a second edition. I did the book about 9 years ago. I mostly put it together as a prelude to a technique that I work with my clients. That's Rewriting Your Life, which is coming out in a book hopefully soon. And I used to do weekend seminars, like a 2-day seminar. So I put together a lot of the basic techniques that help you rewire the way your brain works. When we fall into a lot of bad patterns, if you don't have a pattern interrupt, then you can't get out of them.
Right.
So a lot of these techniques are what I would call a pattern interrupt.
Like, what's a bad pattern? Like dating the same type of guy over and over again.
Type of guy that's bad for you. Yeah. That's a bad pattern, right? So
That's what she means.
Yeah. That's my bad pattern.
Yeah.
One of the things I talk about is like going down the rabbit hole. So when you're in your head and you're thinking about the past, worrying about it, going over and over and over, and you've just wasted an hour just thinking about something. Or you're worried about the future doing the same thing. You're in the rabbit hole. So you're not really present in the moment. You're not alive in the moment. So how can you be happy?
Right.
You can't be happy if you're not alive in the present moment. Mm-hmm. So one of the techniques I have is going down the rabbit hole and how to get out of it. And you can do it very quickly. And after a couple of weeks, when I first was doing it, I would find myself. So you have to find some self-awareness so you notice when you're in the rabbit hole. And then what I would notice is I was in the rabbit hole for an hour. So it took me a little while. So I wasn't completely self-aware when I was in there. But I would catch myself and then I would do my technique and get out of it. So after a couple of weeks, it got to half an hour, 15 minutes, 5 minutes. And kind of 2 weeks to the day, I could actually feel the groove that I was going into before I even actually had the thought. And I was like, nope, I'm not going there. What do I want to what do I want now? What do I want to create? And then taking action. So those four simple steps get you more focused and back on the path. And then after that, I was like, after a year of doing that, I noticed I couldn't even get depressed when bad things were happening, when family was dying, when the market crashed and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. You were able, to emotionally distance yourself from it? Or
it's not emotionally distance. It's like, okay, well, that's happened. What am I going to do about it now?
Right. So you accept
I could choose to get depressed or I could choose to see what I can do to make life better.
That's true. So it's not about what happens to you, but how you deal with what is happening to you, right? How you respond to it and so forth. Very interesting. So that's that's what the book's about.
Yeah, the book is basically about how to rewire the way your brain works. It doesn't get into the belief system so much because that's a little bit more complex of an issue. And that's what I get into in Rewriting Your Life. But this book is if you just just use like two of the techniques, you can really change a lot of core behavior.
Really? Yeah. So tell us, like, for example, I mean, I'm fascinated by this because it's not stuff that that people usually subscribe to, you know? It's because it's hard to believe that you can do that. But, you know, I mean, that's at the crux of every faith, of every, you know, belief system. I think many people do believe that the mind is that strong that you can, you know, change the way that... I mean, even in psychology, they tell you if you just act as if, you know, like, right, just if you're depressed, just start smiling and behaving like you're happy, and you will be, you know?
Yeah. And that's one thing I talk about is, like, fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Like, I used to have to go out to a party or something, and I didn't really want to go because I was in a bad mood. And then I would just fake being in a good mood when I would run into my friends and talk. And then within like 10 or 15 minutes, I'd be like, oh, wow, I'm actually in a really good mood.
Right,
right.
Right. I do that before I go to work.
Do you?
Yeah, not this work.
And if I consciously do it, I should, though, like put on a funny face or a happy face at least.
Yeah.
You know? But you never know, you know. I mean, the thing is, I haven't really felt bad in a long time, so I haven't really had to pretend, you know.
I notice that sometimes smiles are contagious, too, because, like, a lot of people will walk into my restaurant that looks so stank and miserable. Right. And if you're smiling at them, their whole mood changes,
right,
too.
Right, except if they're assholes. Some
Some of them are straight up like, you are a piece of work.
Yeah.
You're a piece of work, buddy.
I mean, last night I had to wait till like 9 o'clock for the gas company to come because my landlord needed them to go in and do something, right?
Oh, thank you for that reminder. My bill is due today for my gas.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. He'll be your secretary. I'll remind you.
Gracias.
Yeah. But so the guy comes over and he throws his weight around like, I don't know who he thinks he is.
What do you mean weight?
His weight around, like saying like, no, this is how it's done. This is that. What did they do already so far today? And he was arguing with the landlord and stuff, you know, the owner of the house.
Right.
Right.
And I thought, wow, you know, the way he's talking back to the owner was not, it's not what you'd expect from a technician, you know.
Right.
He was being sort of confrontational with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know. Some people are assholes.
Yeah,
you know?
there was a lady that came into the restaurant on Sunday, and it was like wide open. It wasn't busy at all. There was like plenty of seats to sit at. And I sat her at one table and she came up. She goes, and I quote, "My back fucking hurts and you have stools. Put me at a high top." And I'm like, you could have completely said that in a completely different manner because every table is wide open. One, you didn't have to swear. And two, it's like, just move yourself.
Yeah.
Like but I smiled and I was like, okay, let me like just handle it like in a jokingly comedian way. And I like popped a joke. Nothing.
Nothing.
Like, nothing. She's like, I come here all the time. I tell you guys all the time that I don't ever want to sit at a low top. And you always put me at a low top. I'm like, I've never seen you before, ever.
Yeah, you're supposed to know and remember.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
Millions of people come in here. I'm supposed to remember you, lady. You and your beautiful smile that nobody is seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Ken, this is an example of someone coming in with a bad attitude, right? Being so negative. And what do they accomplish? Nothing, you know? All you're accomplishing is irritating her.
Yeah.
Irritating yourself, and you're not getting anywhere. Just ask for it.
Sometimes I thought it was entitlement, but then I'll really like look at people like after I seat them, if we have like a bad encounter, if it's not busy in the front, I'll like watch them eat and interact with like the people they're with, and I think they're just really miserable human beings. I don't think it's like entitlement. Well, sometimes it is.
Yeah.
It's in Beverly Hills.
It's probably not even directed towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think they're just not like happy individuals.
I mean, one of two things. You can confront them, which probably creates a battle.
Yeah. Or, can't at work either. I'll get
or
fired.
Shift into, okay, let's have compassion for this person because going through their life, the way they are, must be difficult.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Versus you get to go home and be happy. And,
exactly.
And go on all those
dates. No, I'm
going to
be happy in this very moment. You stare back at this hostess stand, I'm still going to be like... smiling right at you.
Yeah.
Hope you're enjoying that glass of wine. Wish I was having one.
Well, the thing too is compassion takes strength in you.
Right.
Because it's hard for you to show somebody that level of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And that builds you up too. So when I encounter people like that or scenarios like that, I look at it as a chance for me to grow, actually.
Right, right.
You know, they're helping me grow.
Right, right.
Whether they know it or not.
I think forgiveness, too, is hand in hand with that. Mm-hmm. When you have the ability to forgive someone, that's a really big deal.
Right, right, yeah. No, absolutely so. So, Ken, how do you go about rewiring a belief system? I mean, what do you do?
I just wanted to comment on the forgiveness part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, I have some clients that I'm working with them, and I'm doing muscle testing to find out what core belief, and it comes down to something that their parent did or something, and they don't want to forgive them. And in some situations, it's understandable when it's horrible.
Right.
But if you can at least release it, if you can't even use the word forgiveness,
because
some people think that that justifies what they've done as being okay. And
it
doesn't. It just means that it's breaking that cycle of pain and sorrow and suffering that you're going through with that person.
Right, right.
And you're just setting them on their path.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry, what was your question?
The question was, how do you go about rewiring a belief system? I mean, this is something that you grow up with. You believe things are done in a certain way your whole life, and suddenly Ken comes and says, you know what? Let's change everything about the way you think.
So we're really not going to change that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What we're changing is subconscious beliefs that are getting in your way. So I'm not going to, if you're a Trump supporter, I'm not going to be able to change you from not being a Trump supporter. Yeah. But if you have subconscious beliefs that I don't love myself, but you consciously go, well, I do love myself, but I muscle test you and it shows up that you don't love yourself, then that's going to always be in conflict with what you're consciously trying to create.
Right.
So we're looking more for belief systems that are in opposition to what you want in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to change your belief, change those subconscious beliefs. And some people know consciously things that are getting in their way, like I always choose the wrong person for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you muscle test them and that comes up positive. Then we have to dig down and find out why you always choose the wrong person. Like, I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough.
Mm.
You know, so those beliefs you change.
Yeah.
So you dig down to find the deepest core belief you can. And usually people get pretty emotional at that point. So they're kind of, once they start crying, you know you've kind of found that deepest core belief.
You touch the spot, you know, where the tears come up.
And when you clear that, it releases a lot of other beliefs.
Wow. Pretty interesting stuff. So what's muscle testing?
So muscle testing is using an eccentric muscle contraction. So there's a lot of different talk out there about muscle testing, and it takes a little while to become pretty good at it, and you can cheat at muscle testing. So there's a lot of people that muscle test that might not be doing the best job. But an eccentric muscle contraction is I'm moving my arm up into a neutral space where it's contracted, and then I'm pushing down on it, and then I see if there's a reaction, if it goes weak or if it stays strong. So in a normal feedback loop, that muscle stays strong. You can feel the lock in the muscle. So it's not really about how strong the person is. It's whether they can get that initial lock. Like, I've worked on...
she wants hold to strong. Try, yeah.
Wait, hold strong.
Hold strong. Okay, so you have a lock.
Yeah.
Now put your finger right between your eyebrows.
Put it in between my eyebrows?
Yeah, hold strong.
Okay.
Ow!
What?
Yeah, that's weird. Oh, is it because I'm, like, concentrating on two different things?
No, this is called the polarity point. So if I want to start testing somebody, I might check that point first to make sure you're testable. So
am I testable?
You're testable.
Okay.
Wow. So explain to people what happened.
I just didn't hurt the second time around. It didn't bother me the first time around. Well, I wouldn't say hurt. It was just like...
When he pushed it down on it?
Yeah.
Really?
Because she probably has a little bit of a shoulder problem going on.
I do!
And
I just said that really loud, right?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
If people have earphones, they just
I got really excited about that because I do. I have like such bad knots in my shoulders.
Really?
So touching that point decreased your ability to hold the muscle. It decreases the ability for it to lock.
Right.
So then you start trying to incorporate other muscles that maybe were injured in the shoulder, which caused a little bit of pain because you have the underlying shoulder problem. Otherwise, it wouldn't cause pain to go weak. It would just go down.
Right.
So, I mean, I've worked on super strong Olympic athletes or MMA fighters. And when something's turned off, I can use one finger. And I mean, these people are strong.
Right,
so if I can push
them
down with one finger, it's a big deal.
Right,
I mean, I had this one MMA fighter who was up, you know, up for the belt, and had him stick his tongue out to the right And I used one finger, his leg went weak, and he started laughing. He's like, how's that even possible?
But right.
So we adjusted his neck, and it came back, and then I could use my entire strength on his body with sticking his tongue out, and he was strong. So you get this before and after very quickly.
I don't like, I went to a chiropractor once, and I never went back. I had actually had a severe anxiety attack after I left.
Why?
Wow. I don't know. They cracked my neck, and I just felt weird after, and I like melted down. I went home and melted down. My mom was like, you need to calm down.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Severe anxiety attack.
So
they probably over adjusted your neck.
Yeah, I did not like it. I was like, I was not comfortable. It wasn't a good experience.
It doesn't take that much force to make an adjustment. And a lot of times with the neck, I'll do non-force adjusting anyway.
Right.
Especially with a new client, because you don't know how mobile or hypermobile you might be and how your body might respond. So it probably put you into a parasympathetic mode, a fight or flight mode.
Right.
So they probably over-adjusted you.
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. I was like, nope.
Yeah. So you're totally familiar with all this. I mean, you know how the body works and how things are wired and everything. Well, I mean, you know, not everybody does, you know, but that you're connecting everything together. And that's what I find fascinating. Mm-hmm. You know, you're putting a lot of different aspects of it together, your mind, your body, things like that. And that's a holistic way of doing things.
Right. I mean, that's, I would be pretty bored at this point if I was just doing standard chiropractic.
Yeah.
When you connect everything together, you can heal a lot of things that wouldn't normally heal.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I can't treat cancer, but if cancer happens to go away with working on somebody, that's a good side benefit.
Right.
Last year I had to heal myself holistically of prostate cancer.
Oh my God.
So I really thought it would take me like 3 months. It took me a year and a half, but I was still able to do it without any sort of medical intervention and treatment.
Congratulations.
And you're cancer-free?
Yep.
Wow. So, I'm going to you if something ever happens to me,
proof.
Man.
Yeah. He's living proof, you see?
Yeah.
There you go.
It's funny because when I was going to church, when I first moved out here, I met this guy who was diagnosed with stage 4, I think, bone cancer. I can't remember the exact cancer he got.
That's not a good one.
No. They basically, the doctors gave up on him and put him in a, what's it called?
Hospice,
and like his whole family came, but someone, I think one of his aunts, or I could be messing up the story, but someone in his family brought someone who does holistic treatment. He's now 24 and cancer free.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And they told him he had like a couple days to live.
Yeah. So it
works. I just don't know if I would ever do like chemo or radiation if I ever got sick. I'd probably just find every holistic treatment on the face of the planet.
Yeah. Do you think that would work every time and every person?
Of course not.
No, yeah.
You know, when I think you should know what your options are, how far you're along, whether you're doing standard medical treatments, I think probably there always should be some holistic aspect to it.
Right.
Because if you're doing chemo, it's breaking down your body, so you need to do things to support your body but not get in interfere with the chemo.
Right.
But there's there's a lot of other things out there, like a monopure oil has shown results shrinking tumors faster and better than chemo. So, and in certain kind of cancers. So it really depends on what's going on, how far along the process you are. Like one of the things I always ask my patients is, what are you getting out of it?
Right.
So I had this woman come in with cancer and I said, what are you getting out of having cancer? And right off the bat, she knew what she was getting out of it. She got to relax and be taken care of. And her husband was nice to her. She didn't have to do everything. With her, it was looking at her belief systems around able to have support and receive support from people without being sick. So when we changed a lot of these underlying beliefs, why she couldn't get that without being sick, then she could have that without being sick, and then she was able to recover.
Wow. Well, I need to bring you over to my mom's for lunch or something. She cooks very well, and maybe you can actually talk her into getting off her wheelchair and actually standing up and doing something with her life, because, you know, she had surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, people after a day or two are already able to stand up, right?
Mm-hmm.
She decided she's not going to get out of bed again. She's been in the wheelchair, and you know what? If she did some physical therapy, her legs would be able to carry her again, but her belief system is so screwed up, in our opinion, in the family, like my brother and I and so forth, that she's got like no desire to get better.
Mm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So maybe she's just comfortable that way.
Yeah, and that's the problem. If people don't have the desire or the willingness, then it's really not going to work.
I mean, yeah, because we have like a caregiver for her, and she loves it. You know?
Because a lot of people, when they get sick and stuff, probably if it's tough, they're just like, I give up. Yeah. Like almost instantly.
Right.
Mm.
Huh.
Face life's challenges.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. So Dr. Ken Best, if you're just joining us, wrote a book. So you're going to write another book after this one, right? Or you already wrote it?
I already wrote it, yeah.
Okay, so it's being published soon?
Hopefully. We got him an agent. Whoa. Next step is finding a publisher.
So this is interesting. We'll take a break for a second, Desiree. You just mentioned publishing and everything. Quickly, what is the process? I mean, you know, like let's say she wrote a book, right?
I did write a book.
Yeah, you did. That's why I'm bringing it up. I'm just saying, for example, she wrote a book. And what are the steps? Like if I wrote something and it's just in manuscript form, in other words, I just wrote it and there's a text. What are the steps I need in order to have it printed like Dr. Ken Best has it and all the other clients that you have?
So first with that manuscript, you want a good content edit. You need an editor. Don't think that you don't. Every writer has an editor. Mm-hmm. That's generally going to go back and forth, maybe once or twice,
right,
where you're making revisions based on, especially if it's fiction, might be big plot holes or structurally, you know, a character needs to be fleshed out a little bit more. Then after that round of editing is the line editing. And that's inconsistencies. Maybe you said they had brown eyes in one chapter and green eyes in the next, and just style consistencies. And then the final editing is proofing, just that final set of eyes before it would actually go into manuscript form to be printed. As far as getting it published, there's two basic paths, self-publishing and traditional publishing.
I did self-publish, yeah.
Okay, and that and Dr. Best did a fabulous job self-publishing this. Uh-huh. But his next book, we're going for traditional publishing because that book is going to be like nothing you
need. And it's more mainstream and stuff, right? Mm-hmm, I mean, that's more where the interest is. Go ahead.
Oh, well, the first edition was published up in Canada by a company who wanted me to, they knew I was working on this other book, Rewriting Your Life. So that's what, this was kind of the prelude. It was like getting it out there and having something also to work with patients.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It went number 4 on the Sony Reader. So it did pretty well.
Congratulations. Yeah. And so, yeah, are you going out of town to promote it too, or are you just here for now?
No, I'm staying here.
Yeah. That's okay. I mean, people listen to us everywhere. You know, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, in the last few minutes, in relation to what you were saying, so you need someone who knows to help you with what the hell you're doing.
With the editing, with getting the manuscript ready to go.
With the whole process, really.
Then you're pitching. Then you're querying. Yeah. There's a query letter. If it's a nonfiction book, you need a book proposal. If it's fiction, you need your completed manuscript. There's different rules for each one.
Right.
And then again, if you're self-publishing, there's a lot of, you know, work with the metadata, getting on the Amazon dashboard, getting on Ingram.
The Amazon dashboard is kind of confusing now, too. They, like, changed it. It took me, like a week to understand it. I was like, what is happening?
That's because CreateSpace was totally gobbled up by Amazon.
I know so many. I like CreateSpace way better before.
Yeah.
And now it's just, like, one big Amazon thing. I was like, okay, whatever.
That's what happens. You know, I mean, Microsoft bought Skype. They screwed the hell up out of it, you know? So, well, that's very interesting, you know, because, and really what you do is you're there to provide the guidance, the support. What portion of it do you provide of the process?
PR and marketing.
Okay.
With some clients like Dr. Best, we're working on his branding, working on getting him an agent. We did his book proposal, polished it up for him.
Wow.
Helped him with, you know, some of the editing stuff.
And you've been in book publishing for a long time. I mean, I'm not saying you published, but I don't know what else, the book business or
yeah. I'm not a publisher. PR and marketing is where we're at.
Right. No, that's not what I guess I meant. Just books in general. Yeah, I don't know what the hell am I saying. Anyway, so Dr. Best, do you have a website also? Can people follow you? See what it is you have to offer? And
I do, drkenbest.com.
Well, that's easy.
That's pretty easy.
There you go. Don't have to go far fighting.
On social media, it's also at Dr. Ken Best on Instagram and Twitter.
Now, do you provide one-on-one support for people too?
Yeah, of course.
Really?
Yeah, but I would think, like, what are you going to do, group session with?
No, but he's got books. Yeah, maybe you do group sessions.
Well, like if I do a weekend seminar, that would be a group session.
I don't think, I think seminars are different than like one-on-one.
Yeah.
Right? Because seminars are more like talking, right?
Yeah. Well, at the seminars, there's a lot of practical breakdown. Like we have to teach people how to do muscle testing, all the idiosyncrasies involved in
it.
How to start learning how to dig when people are saying certain questions, or digging on yourself is actually kind of tough. So it's good to work with somebody for a while so you can kind of get into your own mode. And also, by the way, when you're doing muscle testing on a belief system, you're only testing that person's truth.
Right.
It's not God's truth or highest truth or whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
but it's what their body believes to be true. So if you believe aliens are going to land tomorrow, they're probably going to land, but not in reality.
Yeah.
Well, that's encouraging. I can find that in movies and books. I don't need this.
Right.
Whoa. So, well, that's about it. Go to drkenbest.com. And so how do you characterize yourself? Do you still do chiropractic stuff?
I would characterize myself as a holistic physician specializing in sports chiropractic and applied kinesiology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you've done this for a while, right?
Since 1994.
Wow. So you've been, so you're a pro at this, you know? I mean, you've obviously got track record for results.
Well, I assisted teaching applied kinesiology for 7 years. I took it for 3 years, and I assisted teaching theta healing for another 7 years.
Mm. Theta healing? Wow, what's theta that? Healing.
So that's the emotional component that I look into. So there, so applied kinesiology doesn't deal with the emotional component so well. So in your structure, you have physical, chemical, and emotional. It's the triangle of health. So AK is really good on the other two sides, but not so good on the emotional side. So when I started working with this woman, Biana, I learned theta healing, and it was just a much quicker way to get in and change those emotional components that were stopping for people from healing.
Wow. Is that what therapists are for?
Therapists are for figuring out how
fucked up you are.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because if something comes up in a session of mine, I'll tell somebody you should go see a therapist so you can work this out.
Right.
So we're just trying to change things on the neurologic patterning in the body.
Right.
So if you can get that out of the way, then working with a therapist is going to make it so much easier to deal with.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And so how long does something like this happen? I mean, let's just say, for example, I brought my mom. She's totally like discouraged in everything she believes. I'll just wait till I die, you know. But she's happy. You know, seemingly she is, because she's got the family around. My dad passed away, so we're like with her all the time. She's got a caregiver. She lives in our house. It's sort of like in a gilded cage, though, because
She's probably not a good candidate either.
No?
No, and it probably has something to do with her husband dying. Not really.
No, but this was way before he died, too.
Yeah,
she's been like that for 3-4 years now, where she hasn't got out of the chair. But we'll leave that for another show.
Okay.
I just wanted to know if this... So she's not a good candidate. Why? Because she doesn't believe that it can work?
She doesn't really want to change.
Yeah.
So you can't force somebody to come in. I have people who come in because they want some sort of change in their life. They're like... Right. Like I had this woman. She's like, all I do is meet married men. So she had the barometer.
I feel you, girl.
I mean, she could walk into the room and she'd end up with one guy who was married.
Yeah.
And then when we tested her beliefs, it was because she was sexually abused by her mother's new husband.
What a douche.
And in her mind, that was actually a safe place, because she actually kind of loved this guy.
Oh, my God.
And so a safe place to love was a married man. So on a subconscious level, she would attract herself to married men.
Wow. I find myself attracted to men that are still in love with their ex-girlfriends. Yeah. Every single one of them I've ever dated has still been in love with their ex.
So that thinking is screwed up too.
What, that they're still in love with their ex?
No, that you're attracted to these people.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, he'll get over. I'm going to be the one girl to make him get over her.
Yeah.
Never works.
I think he could be helped by what he's talking about for sure.
Probably so.
Yeah. You're...
So like with her in a few sessions, she switched that off and was able to find a relationship that wasn't married.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Ken Best, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're amazing. Everybody check out drkenbest.com. Desiree, yeah, that's the book.
Holding It Up.
Holding It Up. What's it called again?
11 Best Ways to Face Life's Challenges. Mm.
There you go. You can't beat that. Desiree, thank you also so much for making it possible.
You bet.
As usual. Danny, thank you for just being you and the funny you and the silly you and everything.
Yeah.
And thank me for being here, really.
And thank you, Panera, for putting hair in my soup this morning.
Yeah.
Oh. I already tweeted them.
Yeah?
I was like, give me a refund.
Yeah.
Send me a gift certificate in the mail.
Yeah.
Because I can't drive all the way back with an hour, like that was an hour ago.
But you need to examine why, in your journey this time, you're getting hair in everything you're eating.
It could be a symbol for something.
You need some healing, girl.
Maybe you should come in.
I know. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.